where I find that people fail is that they're not willing to walk through the resistance. And sometimes it takes more energy to avoid it than it does to walk through it.
Hello and welcome to Love as a Business Strategy, a podcast that brings humanity to the workplace. We're here to talk about business, but we want to tackle those topics that most business leaders shy away from. We believe that humanity and love should be at the center of every successful business. And I'm your host, Jeff Ma. I'm here to have conversations with real people, hear real stories, and talk about how real businesses might operate with a little bit of love. Today, I have a truly inspirational guest joining me. Her name is Robin Osborne, and not just an executive coach and business consultant with nearly a decade of experience, but she's also a beacon of resilience and determination. After undergoing a critical surgery to remove a baseball-sized tumor from her brain, Robin didn't just bounce back, she soared. It took her a year to walk just a mile post-surgery, and she harnessed the same tools she shares with her clients to achieve this incredible recovery. Robin is no stranger to challenges. At just 21, she took over her family business in Southern California, navigating it through some tough times, but ultimately doubling its revenue in a short 18 months. Her secret weapon is her frustration to freedom framework. And this method, shaped by her rich financial, operational, and leadership insights, has transformed C-suite executives and their teams, propelling them towards success. So, with an impressive tenure managing a team of over 40 and an employee retention record that would make any leader jealous, Robin's journey from taking the reins of her family's enterprise to coaching companies to greatness is truly a remarkable story, and I cannot wait to dig in. So I'd like to welcome to the show Robin Osborne. How are you, Robin?
I am awesome. Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm really delighted to be here.
Well, I might have already spoiled a lot in my intro, but I thought that it's just that it's so compelling to even start there. Maybe we hooked a listener or two already, right? Before we get into that story, there is a higher level question I like to start with, and it just revolves around passion, and maybe it connects to your story. But the simple question is, what is your passion?
So my passion is helping people become better. And that passion, I do have a story here because I felt that I didn't know my why 3 short years ago. Hmm. And so it does have to do with my past. So if you don't mind, I would love to kind of dip into that because I'm a big why driver person, like being clear on your purpose, what gets you out of bed in the morning. Really inspires and empowers not only yourself, but the people around you. And for me, what we didn't share in the bio in the beginning, in the introduction, was my dad took his own life when I was 21, and I basically got the company in one day. And fortunately, I have a twin brother and a middle sister. But on that day, I made a decision that my mom was my responsibility financially. And I really thought for 30 years, that was my why, right, wrong, or indifferent. It really drove me to continue to make sure that the business was profitable. It was something that I was very passionate about. And then my mom passed away in 2018, and I felt empty. So really getting curious in, wow, why am I here? What is my true purpose? I think a lot of business owners, after they're successful and they hit maybe a certain point where they're either going to exit, sell, what is the next chapter? And for me, I got the gift of a brain tumor. And through that recovery process, I discovered my new why, which is taking my story and the gift that God gave me and getting a second chance to really help people become better in business and their personal life.
So Robin, I'm really curious where along this story that starts all the way back at age 21, is this part of your brain tumor come in? And I don't mean to pry, but maybe a little bit more to help give that context of where in your journey that is.
Sure. I'd love to share that. Actually, next month is my 2-year anniversary post-surgery. So wow. 2 years ago is when I went in for emergency surgery. They didn't know if I was going to make it. They a carotid artery straddled it. They said I might lose my vision. I may never speak again. And if they hit the artery, I'm not going to make it. So I had to say goodbye to my family, my sons, both boys, my husband, super tight, amazing family and friends. So I said goodbye. So it was almost like dying and getting to come back.
Wow.
Because 5-hour surgery, amazing neurosurgeon, and woke up. They couldn't shut me up. The nurse told my husband, tell her to chill out because she's trying to take control of the ICU. So for me, the humble journey, when you have a surgery like that, it impacts everything, your entire body. So for me, I had a great, tribe of family that really stepped in to help me become my best after the surgery. And what I recognize in the surgery is it's just like business. You're assembling a team. And the ultimate goal is for me to be healthy and to not have any deficits. So it's a definite miracle. And I'm 100% recovery.
Wow. Wow. And so it's relatively recent.
Yes.
I didn't know where to plot on the timeline, but wow, just 2 years ago. So, I mean, first of all, congratulations. I'm so glad it went well. And I guess I'm very last piece. I'll touch on this part, but what was it like? I guess I know you're always working in this space from a business perspective. For the last 2 years, what has it been like with this new lease on life and this blessing that you've had? What has that changed for you?
For me, it's changed my perspective in life. I feel I have a new inner knowing in understanding things. I would describe my life previous to that tumor surgery is I woke up with what I have to do today. Now I wake up with what I get to do. It's a free day. This is a bonus life I'm in now. And the other thing is being really having gratitude for the little things that we don't even think about, like our faculties. So being able to see, speak, walk, drive. I just would cry big alligator tears, crocodile tears, whatever, just doing new things after the surgery. Walking 1 mile took a year, but every day I got up and pushed because they told me that I would get there and I had hope. And I think in today's business world and even in our personal lives with the way that, post-COVID and then our crazy world that we live in is we need hope. And to me, I would say the main ingredient for hope is love. And I would say through the experience, honestly, Jeff, I learned self-love. I don't think I really knew self-love before I really walked through that adversity. And prior, I would either be judgmental towards myself or maybe towards somebody else. And after the surgery, I realized I'll never judge myself, meaning be self-critical, because every day is a gift. I also looked pretty, I had 31 staples in my head, and my head was shaved, and my side of my head had atrophied. So when I would look in the mirror, instead of being in victim or being self-critical, I would look in the mirror and say, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're talented. So to answer your question, when my walk in to do leadership training or one-to-one coaching with my clients, they're getting a much more richer, deeper, and present Robin.
Wow. I love that. I think just hearing that is so powerful because of so much of what we take for granted. I think on a daily basis, it's so easy to forget how precious those are. So thank you for sharing that. And it leads me, I guess, to questions, because you do work with, you know, C-suite executives and a lot of, you know, businesses along the lines of, as you mentioned, finding their why and kind of uncovering these sides of themselves. How do you help people who have not necessarily gone through a near-death experience or tragedy or significant loss and all these things that help us appreciate life? Not that we would wish that upon anybody, but without those experiences, how are you helping people connect to that deeper part of self-love?
Yeah. So through, I would say, first of all, really reading the room, because we're all in different seasons in our life. And I would say the health of the team. So, you know, some of the executives aren't really all in. They're not driving accountability. There's just issues with the dysfunction that they're in. So some of the tools that I implement will help kind of bubble up where people are in the journey, because it'll come to the surface, it'll become apparent. The other thing on a personal level that I work deeply with on executives is some of the, what I call head trash, is where in our inner conflict, so what I call the inner roommate, is that negative self-talk. So if they're, you know, not enough, not good enough, not valued, they're in victim constantly. If there are assumptions or interpretations, like it's never going to happen. So they're really leaning into always and never, low trust, right? Or there's limited beliefs in their own story. So what I identify is when they're in their old story is on the coaching aspect, we've got to really help them uncover the blind spots in their own journey in order to really elevate to being the leader that it really takes to reach the pinnacle of that vision, to really get to the top of the mountain as a company. We as humans need to come in and work, you know, like they say, all in the boat, all rowing in the same direction, is we need to work cohesively. So where there's conflict or issues among team members, we've got to get open, honest, transparent and get it on the table. But I do a lot of personal awareness, because here's the truth, Jeff. A lot of people, what I say is they want to point the finger at everybody else instead of looking at in the mirror. Mm-hmm. So it starts with you.
Couldn't agree more on that, 100%. I think one of the things that I experience in meeting new people and working in this space is just that. Like, I think the understanding, I completely agree. Understanding your why can be this very powerful thing, but especially in leadership, we have almost been conditioned to look at everybody else, right? Because we're managing, we're leading. So it's all about them. Even people who strive to achieve things like servant leadership and all these other aspirations that are altruistic and selfless in their intent, but often fail to take the very important first step of really understanding their own role in it, their own behavior, and their own contribution before trying to fix everybody else.
And I think, too, a big piece of adversity and really, truly loving yourself is asking for help. I think a lot of people stay quiet and they have aspirations of promoting into another position, or even I think companies lack really nurturing, training, and developing because they're all going so fast that they don't develop the human.
Yeah.
So to me, having the, you know, self-love in not putting your guard up and truly being honest and say, you know, I have a real passion and desire to learn, or can you help me, is a catalyst for huge change in organizations. And in order to change the organization, you need to change the people. So two ways to change them is in their behaviors and patterns, or they're just not the right people. So with that is values, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I would say, as I coach, I always use my own experiences, but I was the one that was in the way of the company growing because I wasn't in alignment with the values. So I was showing up late. I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, had an ego. I was the owner.
And how did you finally reach self-awareness about those things?
I think I just got really sick and tired of being frustrated and waking up at 2 a.m. and knowing I didn't have a solution. And I was kind of a hamster in the wheel, doing the same things, getting the same results. And I was depressed and frustrated. And then I started to get curious.
Did, you know, a lot of times when we struggle and when you reach that point of frustration and tipping point and depression, sometimes it exacerbates some of the thoughts going through our head, such as if your frustration is with the business and you've been looking outward and blaming everyone else and your team and all these other things, you know, it just gets more and more frustrating. Is there a way that you utilized or that you've seen to help shift and hold up the mirror even for a moment? Because it's a hard thing to do, especially with egos in play and other things. We naturally are not, you know, a lot of people struggle with the vulnerability it takes to be that low and still kind of find, oh, it's me. I need to change.
Yeah, I think in coaching, I've learned a lot of great communication tools. Like the first thing I would say is ask for feedback from the people around you, because a lot of times we don't want to hear what people have to say because we have a guard up. And the other thing is, if you're not committed to growing or to feedback, they'll defend, debate, and distract. It's always going to end up being somebody else. So that's someone that's literally stuck. They're stuck. Yeah. A lot of companies get stuck. So the company can get stuck organizationally, departmentally, or individually. So depending on, again, it's really like unraveling or peeling the onion, but it's a puzzle. From the personal side, I do see a lot of leaders that are successful, but they are not taking care of themselves physically. They're drinking too much wine. They have poor relationship with the spouse. So what is what I call the you driver? Like, what are you doing for you to recharge the tank? And that to me, again, is love, you know, through adversity in companies, for you to put yourself first and take care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually. Now you're going to be a leader that's coming in fully charged, not the stay away from him, he or she isn't in a great place today. So I think a lot of it's with the time that you're investing in yourself, as well as, you know, being an effective parent, whether it's at home or in the workplace, they already know where you are.
Interesting hot take on the being an effective parent at the home or otherwise. I think I love that. I love that framing. And I think I'm curious, because I've been wanting to move to this. Is this connected to your frustration to freedom framework? Is that all encompassing within it? Or can you tell us a little bit about that framework and how you use it?
I'd love to. And I'll use this works for business and personal, so it's very powerful. So I'm going to just give you a high level overview. But the first thing is truly, what are your values? What is your small set of guiding principles that you align with, that you are going to help to, it's a filtering system to help you make decisions. So Four Agreements is a book by Don Miguel Ruiz. So mine are, be impeccable with your word, always do your best, don't take it personal, don't make assumptions. So when I'm living in those, I'm being my best self. And so the way I would say in my personal recovery, because mentally I couldn't pick up my left leg right after surgery, so I had to go through some pretty intense and painful physical therapy sessions. And sometimes I wouldn't want to show up. I would like start to cry, and then I would say, nope, be impeccable with your word. Like, I made the appointment, I'm just doing it. So where I find that people fail is that they're not willing to walk through the resistance. And sometimes it takes more energy to avoid it than it does to walk through it.
Ain't that the truth?
So I say, suck it up. And like, you know, showing up, the blessings and whatever that is that you're working towards, it will come because you're consistently executing in alignment with your values. So values is pivotal. I would say that's the foundation of the framework. It's the same with when you're hiring, firing, reviewing, rewarding employees. You're always going to do that based on the values, because we hire on skill set, we fire on culture. Mm-hmm. And it's always the compliment sandwich. So, hey, what you're really doing amazing at is this, but where you're below the bar is on this value, and here's what we need to see. Because what's happening is they're not having those conversations in organizations. And the other thing is, what is the purpose? Really, you know, it's beyond money. So for me, I would say my personal and business is the same, is really helping people become better. And from there, you want to do your 10-year target. Where are we going to be? Shoot for the moon. And then a 3-year picture and the, a 1-year plan. So again, I work with executives doing these for the business. The business, we also do marketing strategy. And then the personal, we do more bucket list items where I ask really interesting questions, right? So you want to get to the core and the root of what they're truly passionate about. A lot of people say, I don't know. So we're so busy being busy that we don't even know what we want.
And how do we find that?
So we work in very, I would say, high energy, fun discovery sessions and go through. I have some really powerful tools that I have in my tool belt over the last 10 years in coaching and consulting, but I've lived this and breathed this in my own life. So it takes time, but it doesn't necessarily take a long time. It's just giving yourself permission to pause and focus on you and investing in creating that new picture of what the future looks like. And then I help them with the head trash, because a lot of people, so some of the words I'm looking for when I'm working with teams are like, we're trying, kind of, sort of, probably, I don't know. That means they don't have clarity. They're in the gray. So getting crystal clear and laser focused is, I say you need a coach to kind of help you out of your own way.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm thinking of myself right now. And there's this element of, I can literally, like, now that you've pointed it out, I can feel the head trash in my head that is, it seems almost unavoidable. It's almost like such a large percentage of my head is trash right now. So a very revealing moment for me. Where does the freedom part of the frustration to freedom framework kind of come from? Is it purely of like getting rid of that excess and finding that comfortability with yourself? Is that close?
I would say the freedom part of it, I'll use my own story if this helps, but the other side of it is that, again, you know, freedom is truly like, what does amazing look like? So a lot of times it's like, we want more time. We want to make more money. We want to spend more time with our family. So let's reverse engineer it. Let's start at the end, create the picture. So freedom is really building, reverse engineering the system to enable you to get to that end result. So for me, freedom and relief is, you know, I was running a mom and pop shop and I was the answer man for 40 people. It was very exhausting. I couldn't see past today, or I was living also in the past, but in the past, like, challenges. And so releasing the past and writing a new chapter and a new story is first and foremost, I would say, truly freedom. Is when you're now, like I say, we don't drive looking through the rearview mirror. We got to drive looking forward. And so people are so like closed off into their either present or past situation that it's almost like a mind block to look forward. In companies, a little bit different, but sometimes they're just picking numbers out of the air because they haven't really aligned with their team. Not everyone's either knows the vision, it's been communicated. Like, in order to really get behind a vision in an organization, first and foremost, we got to share it. I believe that they need to weigh in to buy in. So we need to ask and get curious. but from a personal perspective is, you know, allowing yourself to dream and not just tolerating where you're at, accepting it.
Yeah.
So
very, very tied into, like, when we say bring humanity back to the workplace, the mental imagery that's conjured of the workplace without it is a large mass of people who just individually and collectively are just tolerating. And and the dream is this vibrant, robust environment where people are excited and looking to change for the better and constantly growing together and finding new things together. So what you painted was, you know, very much connected and aligned with everything I'm here for. So that's amazing.
Awesome. And I was at a client yesterday and the executive said, I feel very undervalued. And so my job is to discover what that means. And I think in the workplace, what leaders need to do is start using what and how questions and really listening. I think listening is an underrated skill set, but, you know, well, what does undervalued mean? What would it look like to change it? Like, really understand, because we can assume or think that we know, but until we actually really sit and hear, like, listen to hear, not to react.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for the time you took today to, like, really vulnerably share your story and your journey with us and painting the picture for how that really has flowed into how we can really benefit from the knowledge and expertise you bring. So I really appreciate the time you took today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Is there anywhere you'd like to send people or share with people that can be a resource for their own growth?
Absolutely. They can go to www.robinosborn.com. So that's my website. They can just email me. I'd love to give 30-minute complimentary discovery session in how I can help them to become better.
Absolutely. Thank you for offering that. And I hope people take advantage of it, because this was a great conversation. I think 30 minutes with you has been great here. I'm sure it'd be great for anybody who wants to take advantage of that. So with that, we will close out today with a thank you to everybody for listening in, staying with us every week. Same plug, Love is a Business Strategy. If you haven't read it yet, go read it. If you don't have a copy, go get one. If you can't afford one, hit me up. I'll send you one. We love it. We believe in it. We want to share it with the world. So please check it out. The podcast, subscribe, rate, tell a friend, all the good things. And with that, we thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you all next week.